On this episode of Cox Talking Gamecocks, the softball season comes to an end, women's golf team is in good position to make a move, and the baseball season regular season finale ends on a disappointing note. Okay, here we go. To episode 159 of Cox Talking Gamecocks. I am your host, Tim Cox, where I will keep every episode from 1801 to 2001. Hope y'all had a lovely weekend out there. I was celebrating my birthday this weekend. It was a long weekend, celebrating a lot of fun things, caught a baseball game. It was a good time, and now we are right back to it. Hate that. I want to keep celebrating. And I wish I got a little bit more wins this last weekend from the teams, but you know what? It's all good here. So this episode, going to recap this weekend, focus largely on the baseball team, look back at what happened, where the season ended up, and what is next for the team. But there are some updates from around other sports, including softball, women's golf. But before I get there, we do have to start with the handy dandy Gamecock fact and trivia calendar. So let's see what we have today. It is, in fact, a piece of trivia. Name the South Carolina baseball standout who was named the most outstanding player of the 2011 College World Series. It's got to be Wingo, huh? Scott Wingo. Nailed it. It's tough. You know, I don't know if it's because of the time of year that the trivia has been a lot of baseball. We get a lot of baseball facts and trivia about some of the glory days. Meanwhile, we're in here kind of reeling a little bit. And so it's like nice to get the reminders of what once was. But it's also a tough reminder that, you know, there is a world where we are on top of the college baseball world, and frankly should be, and it's just not the case right now. But gonna get into that in a little bit. But let me recap the weekend for y'all from around USC Athletics. So yes, the women's golf team, you know, you'll remember they're in the national championship tournament. They do it where you got the team play and then the match play. So as it stands right now, the team is in good position going into the final round of stroke play. I think they're a top five, so it's not quite settled. But fingers crossed, send good vibes. The team is doing quite well. And then Friday, the softball team got started in their regionals. So going to go through their whole sort of schedule here for you. Friday, they lost to UCF 6-1. Then Saturday, they beat Marist 2-1 and then beat UCF 10-1, which meant that Sunday they went and played Florida State twice to basically see who advanced, and Florida State ended up advancing. And so the Gamecock season is done and ends in the regionals. But it was a fun season. I mean, just really from following them a lot on social media, you know, watching a little bit here and there, but the social media and giving you the updates here and tracking the big games, especially in the SEC tournament, it was a fun season. You know, I think they should be very, very proud of themselves. I think Gamecock Nation is very proud of them for the way they ended the season. And they had some wins, they had some lows, but it was a good season. So shout out to the softball team. Congrats on a very exciting season, and I'm sure that we are very much looking forward to what the future has to hold for y'all. Which brings me to the baseball team, another team that was on the action in the diamond. And yeah, the regular season finale was this weekend. We talked about that a lot as the Gamecocks played the Tennessee Volunteers at home. And unfortunately, it was just not the type of way that we would have liked the team to finish. They lost 2 out of 3 games to Tennessee, lost the series, there we go, third time's the charm. And, you know, with that, it really wraps up one of the more confusing and, frankly, disappointing finishes to a Gamecock baseball season in recent memory. But overall in the year, the Gamecocks finished 38-17 overall with a 16-13 record in the SEC. And it's funny because when you look at those numbers, when you look at the record, right, it looks good. It sounds good just kind of saying it right now. But we know as diehard fans and anyone that has followed this team or really followed maybe college baseball, you kind of know that that record does not tell the full story of what's going on with this team. Because at a glance and on paper, that's a pretty good season. And it's a record where compared to last year, you definitely would have taken that, right? But for the first 3 months of the season, you know, this team was rolling and truly looked like one of, if not the best teams in the country, right? Like, they battled toe-to-toe with the top teams and won more than their fair share of the time. Started off so hot in the SEC. Beat Clemson in the series. You get to the number 3 ranking in the country, and you really seem poised for a very deep postseason run. I mean, you remember those games against LSU? Granted, it was only 2 games, but that felt like a clash of the Titans. And our guys were right there, beat them one of the games. Could have beaten them in the first game. And that was a team at the time that, I mean, they're still the top team in the country, but number 1 team. They seemed really, really deep, strong. They came to Founders Park, and we kind of dismantled them a little bit. But then, like, the last series of April through this past weekend, so a month, effectively, you know, was just sideways, right? It just happened. The team has only won 3 SEC games since April 28th. That is the start of the Auburn series. And, yeah, of course, we can talk injuries, right? There are plenty of injuries that happened that we can point to as why this team lost momentum. I think that the loss of Noah Hall was, in fact, the biggest one of them. I think when he went down, it just shook up everybody. And while we as fans thought, okay, we'll be all right, we got Sanders and Mahoney, it forced Mahoney up a spot, and he struggled with that at times. Sanders has not been 100% this year. He's had some good starts, don't get me wrong, but he's been banged up a little bit, and then he had to have that reset. Noah Hall was so, so good. So him going down really, really hurt this team. And then you have Wimmer, McGillis, etc. But the fact remains that this team just simply fell apart in this last month of the season, right? Over the last 10 games, this team has won 2. That is not the team that we know. This team like had won 10-plus games in a row, right? The high-powered offense and the power, the consistency, strikeout generating pitching we saw was just not there. It was just not there over the last month. And that's the thing that I've been trying to put my finger on, where, yes, injuries happen. And they were injuries to key big players, which affected the defense, affected the depth, forced guys into more playing time. But there were still plenty of guys on the team who just didn't perform very well over the last month, who were healthy. Some of the guys in the bullpen, a couple of the guys in the lineup were just not performing like they were. And maybe they were just a little hot. Like maybe they were playing above their heads for that first couple of months while the whole team was rolling. So then once more pressure was on some of these guys, maybe it shifted and maybe they reverted back to more of their norm. But even so, that's tough to see. So let's review quickly the games from this series, and then we'll look ahead at what is next for the team. Game one was Friday night. The games got kind of moved around. It was going to be Thursday, and then when I previewed the series, it was going to be a doubleheader on Friday, and then it turned out that it was just one game Friday, doubleheader Saturday. So game one, Friday night, South Carolina lost to Tennessee 5-0, and there's just really nothing to say other than it just was not our night. Carolina was held to 3 hits in the entire game. The Tennessee pitcher went 8 1/3, and Carolina simply had no answer. Eli Jones got the start and the loss, going 4 innings, giving up 4 earned runs. Player highlights for here, there's really not many. So we got the 3 hits. Got the 3 hits here. Cole Messina, 1-for-3. Gavin Cassis, 1-for-3, and Evan Stone, 1-for-2. Game two, which was Saturday, and it was the first part of that doubleheader. The first game was great. Gamecocks got the win, going 6-1. Things were tight for the majority of this game. It was either 1-0 or 1-1 for most of the game. But then in the sixth inning, Carolina put up a 5-spot in what turned out to be a huge inning. I mean, the guys put together a very nice extended rally, and it really looked like the team of old, right? Guys were moving along the lineup, getting on base, moving guys over, scoring runs, singles, doubles. It was great. Jack Mahoney started the game, pitched a gem, going 6 innings, allowing 1 run, and Nick Proctor finished the game. It was a 7-inning game. So you kind of thought that, all right, despite what happened Friday, maybe this team is back. You know, like that was the moment they needed. An extended rally, get after the team, win the game. So the rubber match comes later on Saturday, and it ended up a real rough one. Carolina ends up losing 12-1. Just really got out of hand. Tennessee put up big innings in the fourth and the seventh, which were really the deciding factor, as Carolina once again just could not generate the offense. Matthew Becker got the start and the loss, going 4 innings, allowing 4 earned runs. Player highlights here: Cole Messina, 1-for-3 with the 1 RBI, Braylon Wimmer, 1-for-3, and Will Tippett, 1-for-3. So, as I mentioned a few minutes ago, the Gamecocks wrapped up the regular season and ended on a definite disappointing note, right? Just not the way you want to end a season, not the way you want to end at home, especially where you've played well, and not the way you want to have any sort of momentum, right? It's the opposite of momentum, right? It's just trending in a wrong direction, going into postseason play, because as tough as it may be to think about, there is still baseball to be played, y'all. And it is time for the SEC tournament. Carolina goes into the tournament as a 6th seed, which is kind of crazy to think of. You know, a couple of weeks ago, that seemed like far-fetched. But nonetheless, that's where we're at. We do not have a bye or anything of that sort. So the first game is Tuesday morning, literally Tuesday morning, 10:30 Eastern, 9:30 Central. What a way to start the day. I mean, really. Ooh, we're all going to be either like in meetings, in class, at work, trying to watch this game. And stressful way to start the day, man. It is a single elimination game against Georgia. The winner would go on to play LSU Wednesday in a double elimination set. So, I mean, I feel like I've said this a couple of times, but this is the time for Carolina to truly reset. I mean, we have been waiting and hoping for it, but the regular season is over now. It's over and done with. And this whole year has been building towards the postseason. And the whole revenge mindset, the whole chip on our shoulder, all that was to perform better in the postseason than last year. Last year, this tournament did not go well for us. Subsequently, regionals didn't happen. So you feel confident that you're, you know, the regionals feel good, right? 16 league wins, 38 wins. But you want to put yourself in the best position as possible for that. So regular season's over and done with. This is what you play for. It starts Tuesday. So this team needs to look themselves in the mirror and say, okay, we're away from home. We're done with the regular season. The regionals and all that jazz, hosting, not hosting, like that's going to figure itself out. We got to play one game at a time here. We've had a good record in the SEC. We've proven to ourselves that we can hang with good teams in the SEC despite what's happened the last couple of weeks. And this team's got to go out there and play their best. And yes, the team is not as hot as we would want and all that jazz. But despite that, right, like all we can do as fans is believe that this team can get it going once again, right? I know that's frustrating to be like, all right, here we go again, right? It's like that meme, like, oh shit, here we go again. But it's true, right? Like if this team can perform decent in this tournament, maybe it helps that next iteration of the postseason. Maybe it clicks something, right? That's the only thing that I'm hoping for right now, is that this team has a moment, has a game that reawakens everything. And that's just the most we can hope for, right? Because if not, then there needs to be serious conversations about the leadership of this team. Because to have this effectively collapse at the end of the season would be very, very, very bad and very, very, very telling of the leadership of this team. I don't want to get into that right now because I want to keep the positive vibes going, but those questions and conversations are already happening amongst our fans, probably already happening in the athletic department offices. But that's for another day. My focus and this team's focus is Tuesday against Georgia. To hell with Georgia. Let's get it going here. Go on to the next round, see what we can do, and then see where the rest falls. But with that, y'all, that wraps up this episode. Please follow me on social media. Twitter is Cox Gamecocks. Instagram is just the name of the show, Cox Talking Gamecocks. And please like, subscribe, and review the podcast. I appreciate all y'all. Go Cox.